Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 24th of March, 2026, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday, Linda Gray. Linda back here, she had her birthday yesterday, 29 and never been kissed. There you go. Happy birthday, that's fantastic. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm sure last week you all recognized four ladies coming in that you'd never seen before. Well, some of you have seen them. They're from New Mexico, from the Albuquerque Church in New Mexico. And they come here every year. This is their Bible conference. They come here for a Bible conference to get teaching of the Word of God. And it's so fantastic from a pastor standpoint to have four ladies walk in here, big smiles on their faces, sitting down, enjoying the Bible class all the way through, having an absolute great time. Now, their pastor was Andy Todd. Andy and I went to Dallas Seminary together and became great buds and friends. And the thing about Andy that was so great is that Andy and me, we were on the exact same page. And not only that, he liked to hunt, and I liked to hunt. And he invited me down to New Mexico to go turkey hunting, wild turkey hunting, and antelope hunting. And I look forward to that. It was fantastic. And we'd be riding along, and he'd be saying, "What's going on in his church?" And I, "Absolutely." And then I go, "What's going on here?" We're just right. Yeah. But the Lord called Andy home, and the church there has not had a pastor for 3 years. And I encourage you to pray for that group of believers. That's the condition, the spiritual factor and reality of America today. There are no prepared men for the ministry. There are churches all over, sound doctrinal churches with no pastors at all. Pray for them. Those ladies, as beautiful as those ladies were, and how much fun it was for me as a pastor to see believers come here for a Bible conference. We had people in our church going everywhere in the country and around the world, but they came here for a Bible conference and Bible doctrine. And when they, after Sunday's class, they came back and again, they just thanked me for teaching God's Word. And then they left. And then they came back a few minutes later, and this time they were all teared up. They were all teared up because they have been without a pastor for 3 years. And they wanted to know if our church would pray for them, pray that God would provide them with a sound doctrinal communicator. So I encourage all of you in that regard too. It's by the way, the name of it, we call the word Aletheia. That's the name of the church, Aletheia. That's a great name. Absolute truth. That's it. And when Andy was pastor there, they got absolute truth right down the line. But they haven't had a pastor for 3 years. And so they came in, and right before they left, they were all teared up. Could you pray for us that God might provide a sound doctrinal Bible teacher? Now, there's a Chafer Seminary has moved from California. I don't know why anybody wanted to live in California. They moved from California to Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's a great place to go. And that's probably the best chance you have of being prepared for the ministry. And they do teach languages there at Chafer. And there are men there at Chafer that have come to the church in Albuquerque, Aletheia. And this was when Andy Todd was still alive. And they come in, and some of those Chafer theological students came up to Andy and said, "When are you old pastors going to retire so that us young guys can take the church?" I said, "Well, did you shoot him?" I mean, that's about as arrogant as I can think of, to even have the audacity to address a pastor teacher in that regard. "When are you old pastors going to retire?" Now, anybody says that to me, Debbie's going to shoot you. One in the head, two in the heart, and then Charlie will get the rest of you, whatever's left over. And I told Andy, I said, "Can you believe that? I had so much respect for Colonel Thames, so much respect for Pastor Breckel. I was in awe when I was in their company. Awe. I respected them to the ultimate amount and listened to everything they say and whatever they had to recommend. And I can't imagine going up to the colonel and saying, 'What are you old pastors? When are you going to retire and get out of here? When are you, Pastor Breckel, going to retire and get out of here?'" Never entered my mind. But we have here, and these are believers in a one of the best seminaries, maybe the very best one, and that's not necessarily the best ever, just that it's the best we have right now. And there are churches all over this land, sound doctrinal churches with no pastor at all. No pastor at all. So So I encourage you to pray for that. And it was a very great week for me just to see that kind of smiling, happy to be here and learn the Word of God, positive, that kind of positive volition and humility. That's what every sound doctrinal teacher just, all right. Well, on the Tuesday night class, we are in Zechariah, and in the March, April, Israel, My Glory, there's a very excellent article, and it's describing terrorism in the United Kingdom. Satan is the current ruler of planet Earth, and he is trying to win the angelic conflict. And he believes he's going to win the angelic conflict. And the way he's going to win it is to destroy Israel and destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. And Satan promotes anti-Semitism all over planet Earth. Here in America, he's promoting anti-Semitism here in America and all over planet Earth. And when the rapture takes place and occurs, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is over. And that's when anti-Semitism will reach its all peak. And the ecumenical religious system, the great prostitute, will be killing Jews all over and Christians all over. The Antichrist will be killing Jews and Christians all over. Satan's objective is to destroy the nation Israel with the Russia and Iran from the north, Pan-Arabic bloc from the south, Communist China from the east, and the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist from the west. His objective, bring all those armies into the Middle East and destroy Israel completely. If he does, he wins the angelic conflict. Well, it's already going on, and it's getting more and more anti-Semitism throughout the world. This is terror in the United Kingdom. Muslim migration to the United Kingdom has made Islam the second largest religion there in the United Kingdom. Muslims outnumber Jews 13-1 and now threaten the fifth largest Jewish community in the world by holding attitudes like Jihad al-Shami, who boasted, quote, I have killed two Jews in the name of the Islamic State, unquote. He stated that after he attacked a United Kingdom synagogue on October 2nd, 2025. Worshippers had gathered at the Heaton Park Hebrew Congregation in Manchester, England, for the 9 a.m. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur service on the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. Shortly after the service began, security guards outside confronted a suspicious man who then walked away. At 9:30 a.m., the man, a 35-year-old, his name is Jihad al-Shami, returned, driving a car into the security guards standing near the front gate. One guard was injured. The terrorist then exited the vehicle and attacked worshippers with a knife, stabbing a 66-year-old congregant, Melvin Kravitz, in the upper torso and in his head. And Mr. Kravitz was pronounced dead at 10:45 a.m. Al-Shami also stabbed another congregant who sustained serious injuries. And then he called the UK's emergency services. The terrorists call these emergency services. And he said, quote, I have killed two Jews in the name of the Islamic State, unquote. He told that to the operator. Witnesses also heard him yell, quote, this is what you're going to get for killing our children, unquote. Apparently, referencing Israel's military response to Hamas's slaughter of 1,200 Israelis and kidnapping of 251 hostages on 7 October 2023. Al-Shami then attempted to storm the synagogue, charging at officers with his knife. Police opened fire and he collapsed. Inside the synagogue, a 53-year-old congregant, Adrian Dalby, was holding the doors shut to prevent the killer from entering when he was accidentally struck in the chest by a police bullet aimed at the terrorist and was pronounced dead at the scene. Another congregant, also shot accidentally, was hospitalized but later released. Upon spotting what appeared to be a suicide belt on the wounded terrorist, one officer shouted, he's got a bomb! When Al-Shami lifted himself off the ground, police shot him again, killing him. Al-Shami, whose first name, Jihad, means holy war, came to the United Kingdom as a child and became a British citizen in 2006. Though he had no prior terrorism record, he was out on bail following a rape case. A neighbor called Al-Shami a straightforward ordinary lad, but some friends said he had become radicalized. One told Sky News that Al-Shami started using encrypted messaging app Telegram and searching for ISIS videos. Another reported that he changed. I felt his thoughts were too radical for me. Evidently, he was influenced by others who were known for anti-Semitic, anti-Israel rhetoric. In 2023, his mosque, Mahid Sunnah Nelson, was reported to the United Kingdom's Charity Commission for a sermon in which the Imam Abul Abbas Navid blamed the war in Gaza on the, quote, plotting of the kufar, which is a slur against the Jewish people. And that only 6 days after Hamas's October 7, 2023 attack on Israel, the Imam Navid described Israelis as Europeans who had oppressed Palestinians since the state's creation in 1948. Al-Shami's father, Faraj, was a trauma surgeon in the United Kingdom. And in an October 7th, 2023 Facebook post immediately following Hamas's massacre, he praised the terrorists, saying, quote, the scenes broadcast by the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade of a group of fighters storming an Israeli army camp prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Israel will be destroyed. This is the father, who is a surgeon in the United Kingdom. Anti-Semitism has become a feature, not an anomaly, in British society. During the Holocaust, the United Kingdom sheltered Jewish refugees, including 10,000 children rescued by the Kinder transport. Today, However, as Islamic extremism rises, as anti-Semitism rises, British Jews would be wise to prepare an exit plan to leave the United Kingdom. Anti-Semitism is all over planet Earth, and is definitely here in the United States of America. And it is the objective of the ruler of this world to win the angelic conflict. And the only way he can do that is to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. And that's what his objective is. All right. Zechariah. God gave Zechariah 8 visions. And the amazing thing about this is he gave him 8 visions in one night. If he gave me 8 visions in one night, I would be starved to death. I would have to go get about a 5-course meal. God gave Zechariah 8 visions in one night. And we've studied the first 5 visions of Zechariah in chapters 1-4. And now we're in chapter 5, and we've studied vision number 6, the flying scroll, chapter 5, 1-4. And we're in the process of studying vision number 7, the flying ephod. And that's in chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. And then in chapter 6, 1-8, we have the final vision, vision number 8, the 4 chariots. So we've exegeted the 7th vision, the flying ephod, Zechariah 5, 5 through 11. And that sounds like this. Then the angel, the teaching angel, was talking to me, Zechariah, and came forward and said to me, "Now look up and see what this is that is flying or going forth." And I asked, "What is it?" And he, the teaching angel, replied, "This is the ephah that is flying or going forth." Moreover, he added, "This is their eye, their appearance, the iniquity of the people throughout the earth." And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and this, as the teaching angel's pointing inside, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah. And then he said, "This is evil personified." And he thrust her down into the ephah, the basket, and pushed the lead cover down over its mouth. And then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, 2 women were coming out with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens. And I said to the angel, the teaching angel who was teaching me, "Where are they taking the ephah?" And verse 11, then he said to me, "To build a house for her in the land of Shinar." Shinar is Babylon. "When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." Babylon. This, the far fulfillment here, is Babylon in the tribulation period. And there is religious Babylon, the great prostitute, the ecumenical religious system. That's Revelation chapter 17. That's the far fulfillment of the religious Babylon. And secondly, in chapter 18, there is the political and commercial Babylon. And that includes the Antichrist and the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, Revelation chapter 18. Babylon is destined to rise from the ashes to play a major role in the second advent and the 7-year tribulation period. The name Babylon brings to mind evil images of an evil city-state with an abominable religious, political, and commercial system. So in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, that's the far fulfillment of this seventh vision. The Apostle John outlined the rise and the fall of Babylon during the tribulation. Events in these chapters represent religious Babylon, the ecumenical religious system of the great prostitute, Revelation chapter 17, and political and commercial Babylon, which is Revelation chapter 18. In Revelation chapter 18, the spotlight is on political and commercial Babylon. And commercial Babylon is destroyed. And we have studied the first 11 subpoints in this. Point 1, the announcement of Babylon's destruction is in Revelation 18, 1 and 2. This once thriving metropolis will become a wilderness stalked by imprisoned evil spirits that will hover over it like scavenger birds over their prey. 2, in part the city's fall will be due to its decadent relationship with all the nations of planet Earth described as her adulteries. 3, in the tribulation, unbelievers, including kings and merchants, will be wooed into a wicked union with Babylon. 4, they will become intoxicated with passion for its wealth, money. Political and corporate leaders have become rich through the abundance of her luxuries. Verse 3. 5, God will remember Babylon's spiritual and moral evil and judge the city accordingly. Its sins will have piled up to heaven, Revelation 18, 4 and 5. And the principle, God will permit this evil to increase until the cup is full, and then he will act in divine judgment. Point 6, the angel calls for the law of retribution to be implemented against Babylon, Revelation 18, verse 6, Babylon's cup, used to seduce others, will be filled with God's undiluted wrath and used to destroy Babylon, and no mercy will be shown. 7, God will measure out twice as much judgment on the city because of the enormity of its sin and evil. 8, in Revelation 18:7, it says, give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. This verse denotes a luxurious lifestyle accompanied with arrogance, self-indulgence, ruthless exercise of strength, and unruliness. Point 9. Its self-glorification will lead to self-sufficiency, self-deification, and finally, self-deception. 10, in Revelation 18, verse 7, Babylon will boast in its heart, I sit as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn. But we also noted Isaiah 47, 5 through 11, this was quoted in Revelation 18, 7, and the far fulfillment of Isaiah 47, 5 through 11 is what we have in Revelation 18, 7. And therefore, the opposite is true. It will be deceived and suffer all of the sorrow of widowhood. Point 11, although the kings of the earth glorify it with praise, God will forsake Babylon, and its destruction will be sudden and complete. In one day, it will suffer death and mourning and famine, and will be utterly burned with fire. Revelation 18, 8, 18, 10, 18, 17, 18, 19. That's the far fulfillment. We also have studied in Daniel chapter 5, in 539 BC, there was a ruler, Belshazzar, and he thought that Babylon was going to last forever and ever. And then the handwriting on the wall. And when the handwriting was on the wall, Babylon was over in one day. That was the near fulfillment. Babylon was gone in one day. The handwriting on the wall, Daniel chapter 5. Now that brings us to point 12. Point 12, a worldwide lament will rise from the earth dwellers, those who live all over planet earth, as they see the smoke of Babylon's destruction. A worldwide lament will rise from the earth and all those living on planet earth as they see the smoke of Babylon's destruction. Revelation 18, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 18, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, when the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They will stand far off and cry, woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power. In one hour, your doom has come. So point 12, a worldwide lament will rise from the earth, and those people living on planet earth as they see the smoke of Babylon's destruction, Revelation 18, 9 and 10. Monarchs, rulers, kings who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with Babylon will bewail its destruction. Kings will wring their hands and weep over the power they once enjoyed by participating in Babylon's evil and wealth. They will mourn as if lamenting the passing of a loved one. Point 13. Merchants will mourn their tremendous loss as Babylon's lavish goods are destroyed. Revelation 18, verse 11, which says, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. The merchants will have exported not only their products worldwide, but the diabolical Babylonian system, as well as using sorceries, is the word translated, pseudo-magical arts, to deceive the nations during the tribulation and to lure them into an immoral spiritual relationship with Babylon. 14, all of the opulence, all of the wealth mentioned in Revelation 18, 12, and 13, all of the opulence and all of the wealth mentioned in Revelation 18, 12, and 13 will disappear in an hour. And access to the merchandise will be lost forever. Revelation 18, 12, and 13. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind, made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense and myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. So all of the opulence and wealth mentioned in Revelation 18, 12, and 13 will disappear in an hour. And the merchants will lament with weeping and wailing and great anguish. Verse 15. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her. Money, 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 money. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn. You see, this is the far fulfillment of commercial Babylon. In Zechariah's day, there was a near fulfillment. There were lots of Jews living in Babylon, and they refused to come back to Jerusalem and Israel. So Zechariah gave a warning in Zechariah 2, verses 6 and 7. A warning. Get out of Babylon now. Get out of Babylon now and get down here to Jerusalem. This is where the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be dwelling in the Holy of Holies. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be the wall of fire around Jerusalem, protecting it. You need to get back to the living and true God and to the Word of God. You need to put God and His Word first, not money, not the details of life. But these Jews put the details of life, and they were very wealthy in Babylon. That was a near fulfillment. They were very wealthy. They had big houses. They had all kinds of money. Why should they leave that prosperity and that money and come to Jerusalem? Well, the reason why is because God and the Word of God should be the number one priority in your life. It's not in America today with Christians. Very few. That's the problem in America. The problem in America is not with unbelievers. The problem in America is with Christians. Out of fellowship with God, they're just too busy with the details of life. They don't care about God or the Word of God. That's a very low priority. But number one in your priority should be God and the Word of God. And that's why Zechariah gave a warning. Get out! Get out of Babylon now! That was the near fulfillment. Some did. Some did, and we're going to see some of those who did when we get to Zechariah chapter 6. There's going to be three of them that are be named who did exactly that. They left. And God and the Word of God was more important than the details of life. More important than money. More important than all of the prosperity they enjoyed in Babylon. And they came back, and we're going to meet them, their name. And it stands as a memorial, by the way, very special memorial. So 15, even the mariners, every shipmaster and sailor will grieve. They will heap dust on their heads as a sign of great mourning as they weep over their sudden loss. They've lost money. They've lost the details of life. They've lost their prosperity. So even the mariners, every shipmaster and sailor will grieve, and they will heap dust on their heads as a sign of great mourning as they weep over their sudden loss. Revelation 18, verses 17 to 19. Revelation 18, verse 17. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" And they will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city! Where all who had ships on the sea became rich, rich money through her wealth. In one hour, she has been brought to ruin." 16. In contrast to the kings and the merchants and the mariners who lament Babylon's destruction, heaven, along with the saints and the apostles and the prophets, they will rejoice over it. In contrast to the kings, the merchants, and mariners who lament Babylon's destruction, heaven, along with the saints and the apostles and the prophets, they will rejoice over it. 17. God, in His righteous judgment, will avenge the blood of the saints. God, in His righteous judgment, will avenge the blood of the saints. Revelation 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. Revelation 18:20. And turn back to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Because we have in Revelation 6, 9 through 11, the fifth seal. Verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. These are believers in Jesus Christ who proclaimed the grace gospel and the truth of the word of God. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brethren who were to be killed as they had been was completed. The martyrdom of these believers. Babylon will go down like a great millstone cast into the sea. Suddenly, swiftly, violently, and completely. And this is seen in Jeremiah 51. Turn over to Jeremiah 51, which this prophecy has a near fulfillment in Jeremiah's day and a far fulfillment in what we're studying, the tribulation. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, starting at verse 61. He said to Sariah, when you get to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud, and then say, O Lord, you have said you will destroy this place, so that neither man nor animal will live in it. It will be desolate forever. When you finish reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates. And then say, so will Babylon sink to rise no more because of the disaster I will bring upon her, and her people will fall. The mighty angel in Revelation chapter 18 assures the world that Babylon will be found no more. Revelation 18, verse 21. Revelation 18, 21. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. So that the Jeremiah passage had a near fulfillment in Jeremiah's day, but it had a far fulfillment in the tribulation period. The words, notice it says at the end of verse 20, it'll be thrown down and never, never to be found again. The words, no more, anymore, never again, appear seven times in Revelation chapter 18. And Revelation 18, verses 22 and 23 says, all sounds of life will cease to exist when God destroys the city. Verses 22 and 23. Verse 22, the music of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of a bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. This will be a testimony to Babylon's total destruction, just like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Point 18. During the tribulation, Babylon will be charged with murdering the prophets and the saints. During the tribulation, Babylon will be charged with murdering the prophets and the saints. Revelation 18, verse 24. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth. Now, this was prophesied in Jeremiah with a double fulfillment, near and far fulfillment. Turn back to Jeremiah 51 again. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, 35 and 36. Verse 35, may the violence done to our flesh be upon Babylon, say the inhabitants of Zion. May our blood be on those who live in Babylonia, says Jerusalem. And therefore, this is what the Lord says. See, I will defend your cause and avenge you. Now look over at verse 49. Babylon must fall because of Israel's slain. Just as the slain in all the earth have fallen because of Babylon. Babylon's aggressive hatred for true believers will be transmitted worldwide as it inspires governments to kill them. Point 19. Point 19, the sins of the Babylonian demonic system touch every area of human existence. The sins of the Babylonian demonic system touch every area of human existence. Politically, religiously, economically. So let's take a look. Politically, Babylon symbolizes arrogant rebellion against God. Symbolizes arrogant rebellion against God. By trying to build a tower to heaven, Nimrod attempted to confederate mankind into a city-state that would receive worldwide fame and recognition. And he did so in direct defiance of God's command to multiply and fill the entire earth, Genesis 9, verse 1. So God destroyed this program by confusing the languages and scattering the inhabitants around planet earth. So politically, secondly, religiously, Babylon symbolizes the mother of idolatrous religion and worship. Symbolizes the mother of idolatrous religion and worship that has infected all nations with its satanic doctrine and practice. Which has infected all nations with its satanic doctrine and practice. And economically, Babylon symbolizes the pride of wealth and sensuality. Babylon symbolizes the pride of wealth and sensuality. The worship of money. And we're there already. We're there. That's true all over planet Earth right now. That's true in America right now. And you know, for years and years, we've had Upland Bible Church, March Madness. We've been doing this for years and years and years. I've had people come up and ask, why aren't you doing it? I said, well, I'll tell you why. Because I can't stand up. And we had like 40 people enter this March Madness every year. And I had them on all over my house and the wall. And it took so much time. And I had to stand and put them all up. I told Deb, we're not doing it. We're not doing it this year. No March Madness. So, but you know what? It's not even fun anymore. It's not any fun anymore because it's all about money. It's all about money. It used to be, years ago, that there were the little schools, and the players, and the big schools. You didn't have NIL. You didn't transfer. And you listened to the teams. Here's their starting line. This is his eighth year playing college basketball. How do you do that? Eighth year playing college basketball. And he's played for a different school the entire time. Different school. What? They just transfer. Who can pay me more money? Well, the little schools can't pay money. Very little. The big schools got loot. They got millions and millions. And so they just go to any great athlete in a mid-major school, they just go and offer more money. And they leave that school and go to the other one. And that goes on all over. And it's not fun anymore. Not fun anymore. Because the rich get richer and the little guys, pretty soon, they won't even be allowed into the tournament. That's because it's all about money. It's all about money. A college, a university should be about getting an education. That's what it should be about. You're going to college to get an education. You're not going to a college to make money. But that's what these guys are doing. They're going to college to make money, not to get an education. I don't care how much you make by millions. What are you going to do when you can't play? Well, you can be somebody at Walmart, letting people come in. Maybe you can do that. Maybe, probably not. You might be able to, a greeter at Walmart. You might be able to be a greeter at Walmart. And so it's really not that much fun anymore. So we're doing it right now, Deb and I. We're just doing it with family. Just with family. We have 7. And but we have a pink hat that says loser on the pink hat. There's only 7. But right now I got a good chance of wearing the pink hat and being the loser. But I got a kick out of it. We had Natalie and Hunter fill one out, and they got it, and they filled it out in about 30 seconds. Filled it out in 30 seconds. Natalie picked High Point to beat Wisconsin. And the first day, High Point beat Wisconsin. Natalie was in first place. We got a hold of Natalie, you're in first place. You're the only one that picked High Point to beat Wisconsin. Well, that was short-lived. She has High Point winning the whole tournament. So they won one, but they didn't win. They're not going to win the whole tournament. So at least not this year. There's no Upland Bible Church March Madness. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see what happens with these new knees that I'm scheduled to receive. We'll see how that works out. That's all in God's hands, and God knows I would love to feed his sheep, and I pray every day he give me the health and the strength to keep studying and teaching so I can feed his sheep. You're his sheep. There's nothing I'd rather do. I don't want to travel anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to feed the Lord's sheep. That's my life. That's my life. There's nothing more important than that to me. And I'll do that as long as he gives me the health and strength to do that. And if he says, no, you need to come home, I'll go, yay, I get to go to heaven. And that I'm looking forward to that day when that happens, guaranteed. So economically, Babylon symbolizes the pride of wealth and sensuality, the worship of money, power, and the spirit of covetous commercialism that dominates worldwide commerce. Babylon symbolizes the pride of wealth and sensuality and the worship of money, power, and the spirit of covetous commercialism that dominates worldwide commerce. Immediately prior to Christ's second advent, rebuilt Babylon with its extensive commercial center will be suddenly and swiftly destroyed. Revelation 18:2, Revelation 18:18, Revelation 18:21. Afterward, all wickedness and evil will be removed from the earth in preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the King priest after the order of Melchizedek, establishing his millennial kingdom and worldwide millennial rule. And that will be the most glorious, glorious day that will be for both Israel and the world. All right. There is the seventh vision, Zechariah 5, 5 through 11. That's in the can. We start next week with chapter 6. And there's one more vision to go in chapter 6. Chapter 6, 1 through 8. The four chariots. Aha. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, amen.